Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
And Dr. Scripture, we have a very special guest in the studio with us today.
We sure do. I am very, very happy to introduce one of the most important persons in my life, my mother, Ruth Scripture. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Ben.
It is so neat to have you with me today. We're going to be doing some shopping later, and when I had the opportunity to have her come with me to do our recording today, I thought, you know, this is an opportunity that doesn't come along very often, and I would take advantage of some of her experiences that, to put it politely, go back in the far distant past. So, Mom, we won't
You've
ask you.
You've already said enough.
I won't ask you when
this
you
is from
were,
a young earth creationist, too.
Yeah. I don't think she can tell us anything about the days of the flood, but she was born back in the 20s. We'll leave it at that, right? Mom, when did you graduate from high school?
1945.
And so in 1945, of course, the World War II was taking place.
It's just wrapping up.
Yeah. But, of course, there were a lot of other significant social and scientific developments going on in those days. And what I wanted to do today was talk about, in a general way, the changes in our public forum, and especially in our public school systems, the changes that have occurred in the teaching on origins. Of course, it's gone from teaching what the Bible says to now. The Bible can't be discussed at all. But back in the 20s, some of the big changes began to take place. Though the 20s, like I mentioned, were back when my mother was born. And so we're going to bring in a little bit of the Scopes trial today and maybe also discuss just a little bit of our own personal experiences in what we were taught in school between my mother and myself and then Scott. Obviously, this is very anecdotal. It's not a scientific survey, but just sort of get a feel for how what is taught in school about evolution, creation, so forth has changed over the decades. So, Mom, you said you graduated in 1945. What kind of a school was it?
Just regular school.
A public school, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Did you ever have any class that talked about evolution or creation, anything about origins?
No, we never had any. Nobody discussed church. Unless we did it privately, talking about what we had done at, you know, in our lives at home.
Yeah.
But it never entered into the school at all.
Okay. Well, even in like a science class, did they talk about evolution? Did you have that kind of a class where you?
No, they never mentioned evolution.
Okay.
It was just like it never existed.
Uh-huh. And as far as the people that you knew, now I know that you were raised in a church, so, but I mean, did even the idea of evolution, discussions about creation and evolution come up very much?
Not in the Salvation Army, it didn't.
Uh-huh. All right. And back in those days, what did the Salvation Army believe in your experience?
Well, they believed that, you know, that God created heaven and earth and that he was totally in charge of it. But I think when we heard most about God's creation was when I went to Sunday school with another church, and I don't even remember what they were.
Mm-hmm.
But they did talk a little bit about it, but it just wasn't a discussion like it is now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the thing in my discussions with Mom. You know, back in the 40s and the 50s, I mean, it mm-hmm. really wasn't something that was certainly in the public forum a big discussion issue. Of course, it was a big deal back in the 20s when the debate really became sensational, I guess we mm-hmm. might say. And it was crystallized, really, by the Scopes trial. A while back, we had several programs on that mock trial that I was involved with.
Oh, yes.
At the Chase Law School at Northern Kentucky University. And that mock trial that we set up essentially was a reverse of the Scopes trial. Let me give you a little bit more information about what took place in that trial. In my research on this, I never realized just what a big deal this really was. I mean, I'd heard of it and so forth, but I'm going to give you some information from a really excellent article. And if you want to check this out for yourself on the internet, it's on a website called BookRags, BookRags, BookRags.com. And at the top of the page, there's a search engine. And if you just were to type in Scopes trial, you can get this kind of information. And so I'm reading from an article about this. It says, one of the most sensational court cases in the 20th century America, the Scopes monkey trial, went infinitely beyond the boundaries of law and the courtroom to question the social, intellectual, and cultural values of America. Now, this trial, as I already mentioned, took place in 1925, and the article discusses how this really characterized a lot of the changes that were taking place in society at that time. And the battleground for this conflict, reading from the article again, between new and old ideas was the public school system within which John Scopes taught Darwin's theory of evolution, which, of course, contradicted the Bible's interpretation of the origins of man. In 1925, the American Civil Liberties Union, our favorite buddies of the ACLU, announced that it was willing to financially support anyone challenging a recently enacted Tennessee law that had prohibited the teaching of Darwin in the state's school systems. John Scopes, a 25-year-old high school science teacher in Dayton, Tennessee, who taught evolution in his school biology class, accepted the ACLU offer and agreed to stand as the defendant in a test case to challenge the law. So during the summer of 1925, the Scopes monkey trial grabbed national and international headlines. Now, here's where it was a lot bigger than I had ever understood it actually was. Again, reading from this article, almost 1,000 people packed the Tennessee courtroom daily. Now, I have actually seen that courtroom. I mean, they couldn't have packed thousands of people in it. So they had to have been spilling out onto the lawn. It says, and millions more listened to the proceedings. It was the first trial ever to be broadcast live on the radio. So back in this day, I mean, this was a big, big deal. And of course, they had very, very famous people involved. The lawyer for the defense for the ACLU, and of course, remember, this was all ginned up. They tried to get this to...
Yeah, this was pre-planned.
Yeah, it was very planned. The defense lawyer was Clarence Darrow. He was quite a well-known liberal. And the prosecuting attorney was Williams Jennings Bryan, who also was really, really famous. In fact, Bryan ran for president a couple of times. This is sort of interesting. On the Democratic ticket, of course, the Democratic Party was quite different in those days than it is today. Well, we all know the outcome of the trial. Of course, the defense lost, which is what they actually wanted. Listen to this. At the conclusion of the hearings, Darrow asked the jury to return a verdict of guilty in order that the case might be appealed to the Tennessee Supreme Court, where he hoped the anti-Darwin law would be overturned. And the jury, complying with Darrow's request, returned a verdict of guilty, and the judge fined Scopes $100. But, of course, publicly humiliated and exhausted, Bryan, who was made to look like a fool during the trial, he actually died just a few days after the trial. I never knew
either.
So this was quite a sensational thing. And, of course, you can imagine then the public discussion after the trial when William Jennings Bryan died. So we went from that very, very sensational case back in 1925 where it was actually outlawed to present evolution to, of course, today where we've got a total reversal, where now it's against the law to present creation. Well, we move forward from my mother's experience in 1945 where it wasn't talked about at all to my experience. I graduated from a public school in 1971. And I can remember just barely my high school science teacher mentioning evolution, but didn't teach on it at all. But he did mention it, that that was a theory that was out there talking about how things came into being, the origin of life and so forth. But it was not taught in my public school. Now, this was 1970s, late 60s, and it was in Ohio. So my mother was in Michigan, I was in Ohio, and let's move forward even further. Scott, how about you? When did you graduate?
Well, I graduated in 1989.
So we're talking 18 years after I did.
Yes. And now my experience is a little different because I moved around. I attended five different elementary schools and two high schools. It's mostly in Indiana.
What kind of high schools did you attend?
One in West Virginia and one in Indiana. They were both public.
So all three of us have Midwest experience.
Pretty much, yes.
I think the coast, especially in the East, you know, there would have been a more liberal school system. But anyway, how about you with your public school experience?
Well, I think by the time I got to the fourth or fifth grade even, I mean, they were already talking about evolution in science classes, and they weren't saying this was a belief, a theory. I mean, they were talking about it as if it were established fact.
Wow.
And not just in the science classes either. I remember learning the difference between fact and opinion in a social studies class or something like that. You had to list whether something was a fact or opinion, and it would gave the very old age of the earth, that was supposed to be a fact.
Oh, wow. In elementary school, you were being exposed to the theory of evolution, and how about in high school? Did they teach it in your science classes?
I'm trying to remember the biology classes. I think they mentioned it. I don't remember it as much in the high school as I do in elementary, but maybe because I'd gotten so, I guess, desensitized to it by then.
And so for you in elementary, that would have been in the early 80s, I guess we might say.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now we move forward 25 years, and of course, it's taught at every level. It's taught everywhere. It's just fascinating to see these kinds of changes over the lifespans of three different generations here. So, Mom, really appreciate you being on the program today. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you for asking me to come. I've been very interested in what you've been doing.
Good. And we'll conclude the program today by talking about a person who had things to share long, long before my mother was even born. We're going to talk about something that Peter said in the second epistle. He wrote in chapter 2, verse 1, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." And I would suggest, you know, that this whole teaching of evolution is one of those destructive heresies. It's even in the church. But we might ask this question. It says, bringing swift destruction. We talked about the Scopes trial back in 1925, my mother, 1945, and really the public teaching of evolution wasn't even that common back then.
Mm-hmm.
We move forward, you know, 60 years to when you were in school, Scott, and, you know, it's getting talked about even in grade school.
Yes.
So swift, well, Peter goes on to remind us something else about, in God's mind, swift, and in our mind, swift, you know, are different things. Remember what he says in 2 Peter 3:8, "Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." And so the Lord continues to wait, and he's looking for those who are willing to listen to the truth. Listener out there, perhaps you're confused. Perhaps your confidence in the Bible is shaken. He is waiting for you to trust him. His word is trustworthy. Since the days of the Scopes trial to today, we've learned many, many things. And Darwinism now is under the attack. Not so much creationism, frankly. And so once again, what does it say? "There will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." That's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.